The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
We're already in the 90s again.
10 minutes after 7, U.S. jobs report just coming out now, or at least they're revising earlier numbers. So they're saying all that happy talk from the Biden administration about how great everything was, down by about 306,000 jobs overall. So this is going back a few months. So what we told you back then was a lie. Now we have better information. One way or the other, we could be entering a time in which it's not about getting a return on capital, but getting your capital returned. Consider having a portion of the wealth that you have. Yeah, you're probably going to keep things in markets and bonds and everything else. Have a portion of it in physical gold and silver. I would suggest that. So would the people at one of my oldest sponsors, J. Austin & Company Gold and Silver Buyers in Ashland. It's 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. There's thousands of years of history of gold in sketchy times when everyone's trying to destroy their currencies and get down to nothing because they have to inflate their way out of their budget problems like the United States might be doing, like European Union, of course, has been looking at, and so much more. Anyway, just to get the physical gold and silver and put it where you want it. And there's just evidence this has happened and been a good thing for a long time. I'm not saying go all in. I'm not one of those kind of guys. But having some is better than none. And if you're looking at 2,500 or 2,540 gold where it was yesterday at some point as a selling, we'll talk with them about that too. Great people. J. Austin & Company. Stop by today, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. That's by appointment. Call them at 482-3715. Okay? All right. Protect your wealth with J. Austin. It's 11 after 7. Kevin Starr is going to join me here in a couple of minutes. Want to talk about a firearms lawsuit. Unfortunately, went sideways. And Tom's here. Tom's in talent. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind today, huh?
Well, I wanted to address the lawsuit against the Medford police by the protesters. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of following it upstream where it comes from. And I think it comes from the protesters' government education, where the government comes in and says to all of us, it says, your children belong to us. And we're going to put them in our education camps called public schools and indoctrinate them. And you look at the average education out there, I mean, it's communism, fascism, whatever, but it's the government is God. Government is the provider of all things good and just and so forth.
But connect it then to the ACLU lawsuit. My point is that it just seems to be ridiculous to tell someone, whether it's the Medford police or whether it's people like you and me, that paying attention to something is a bad thing. And if you're in charge of trying to keep some order, you know, on the streets here, you would be paying attention to people who have acted out in the past, let's say.
Absolutely. I agree with that. But I think it needs to be that we really need to look at this whole idea of government education, because it is creating protesters like this. It's creating the Alamy.
In other words, you are indoctrinated to be a throat-punching activist in your young adult life is kind of where you're going. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the people who did the Alameda arson fire. I'm sure in their minds it was very justified because of, their protests and so forth. So I'm saying that the government is the first violator of an action against our life, liberty, or property. In the instance of kidnapping children, it's the liberty. So it's coming from the government, all these insane protests.
And then the government has to grow the police action, in other words, to tamp down what it itself generates. Yeah, kind of a positive feedback loop on negative activity. Got it. All right.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for that. I'm glad you explained it. I wasn't quite grasping where you were going at first, okay? Thank you, Tom.
Okay, sounds good, Bill. Take care. You're doing great.
All right. Hey, so are you. We all are. We try to muddle through. It's kind of a muddle through time. All right. Kevin Starrett joins me here in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the latest lawsuits, and this time on House Bill 2505, I believe is the number. and where the fight's going to be leading us next, okay?
Okay.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
A group of customers was sitting down at a local Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania restaurant. Butler County. Staff telling patrons that they'd have to leave due to a private event. The private event turned out to be a campaign stop for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Quote, they kicked us out, one man complaining, as a caravan of over a dozen unmarked Ford Transit vans arrived to the location. Look, they're all paid actors, other people in the crowd shouted. So in other words, they're creating an image. She's meeting with real people. She's a person of the people. No, the real people were kicked out. They got their asses thrown out on the street so they could bring in their own audience of people that will support them.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, out of all the things we can do to maintain and protect our homes, you know what? Getting up on a ladder, cleaning out the gutters, that's the last thing anyone wants to do. I know, I've done it. And right now you can save up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. An investment in Leaf Filter is an investment engineered to protect your entire home. Now, the beauty of Leaf Filter is they take care of everything start to finish. Every installation comes with a free inspection, free estimate, and a lifetime guarantee. Now, a Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will clean out, realign, seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter, protect your home, and never clean out gutters ever again with Leaf Filter. They're America's number one gutter protection system. And schedule your free inspection. Get up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. That's a free inspection up to 30% off, leaffilter.com/Hannity. And do it today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount, one discount per household.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
By the way, Francine informs me that once again, over in Talent, Oregon, the power is out. Which is now becoming to be sort of a routine thing as we turn into South Africa, parts of Australia, in which, you know, I guess that having power that's on and reliable in the state of Oregon, that's I guess that's kind of privilege. That's a privilege we're not allowed to have anymore, Kevin Starrett. I guess that's what we're looking at. How you doing? Welcome.
Good. Well, I guess if we demand that everybody buy electric cars and then end all sources of electricity, these things are probably going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that does seem to be a sort of they're counteracting one another, or mutually exclusive. It's kind of like when Obama last night on his speech, and I heard the sound bites, because I don't watch the DNC. It just makes my head hurt. There's no point, right? And Obama talks about, we're fighting for freedom and we're going to fight and battle against climate change. And I think, okay, those are two mutually exclusive things, because everything about their climate change agenda is to not be free to do what you want. It's to do what they allow you. You know, but there never seems to be a connection there. It's funny. It's funny how that works.
We need to be free to monitor and control everybody's social media accounts, and to free to determine what people are allowed to say and hear, and free to put people in jail if they're political opponents, and then claim that Donald Trump is going to end democracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meanwhile, I don't know if you heard about, I know this is not even involving what you were joining the show for, but I always enjoy just kicking around news with you. Medford police are being sued by the ACLU because the claim is that the police department was spying on them by actually paying attention to their social media posts and news stories that were involving certain left-wing activists here in Southern Oregon. Is that a problem, you think, in some ways, that a police department would pay attention to what people say openly and they're hoping other people listen to them? It's kind of weird, isn't it?
I just saw that story a few minutes before, you know, we came on the air. And so here's my problem with, and I only saw a story in the failing Oregonian.
Uh-huh.
So the problem.
Yeah,
that's
who broke it.
Yeah. The problem I have with any one of those stories is, first of all, social media accounts typically, I mean, you can see almost everybody's because they make them available.
Yeah.
So if you make something available on the internet, I imagine people are going to look at it. But the problem I have with any story reported by any of the cartel regime media is that I have no idea what the actual truth is.
Oh, okay. So you just default with I don't believe them, right?
I default with I don't believe anything until it's been officially denied.
Oh, okay. Well, Medford police denied that they were, spying on people, but they said, hey, you know, we were looking for out for trouble. If there's going to be a traffic problem or big protest, we want to know. I get that. I think if you're in charge.
Well, right? You know, who doesn't do that?
We look at
people's Twitter. I put something, not me, because I won't use it, but, you know, Christine Drazen put something on Twitter, like supporting, you know, saying that justice was served when George Floyd, you know, when Chauvin, the cop who was involved in the George Floyd thing, when he was, in my estimation, wrongfully convicted, Christine Drazen posts that justice has been served. Well, of course, I'm going to keep something like that, right? Because it demonstrates exactly where she's at. That is the point of posting things on social media accounts, is for people to see them. So if they're complaining that people saw them, well, sorry, kids, tough.
Well, the idea, though, is that a police officer sees it and says, okay, well, this could cause trouble later. We just don't know. And what, you put a bookmark to it or you print it out and tuck it away? That's spying, is what the ACLU is claiming. When you put it out in public.
Yeah.
When you put it out in public.
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of sophomore communists put out a post that's saying we're going to go disrupt traffic or burn down a building, and the police read it and take notice of it, and that's a bad idea, you know.
You know darn well that if they didn't pay attention and the cops didn't show up, then the people are upset too. So they're kind of in this no win situation, you know, one way or the other, I guess.
No question.
All right. Well, let us talk about the latest when it comes to firearms rights. And the news, unfortunately, is kind of dim this morning. It's not a great story. And this has to do with the House Bill 2005. That was the bill that the Republicans would not walk out of and stop when they could have back in that. And that, it was 2021, right? Was that 2021 that they did that?
I think it was 2022.
2022. Okay, 2022.
I'm losing track.
Yeah. But anyway, and this is the thing that made it essentially illegal to build your own firearm, which has always been a right, always been considered a national right here. And you went to court. Firearms Policy Coalition went to court. And yesterday, the judge denied the request. Tell us what happened on this one. Any information there?
So, just a clarification, it was actually 2023, but so what she said, and here's where we're in some really, really dangerous territory here, and where I believe that our side has fallen into a serious trap.
Okay.
Because we've accepted, and I understand why lawyers and people in this fight may have done this, but it's still a real trap where over time, when the courts have come up with these rulings where they which seem to be beneficial to gun owners, but which tacitly accepted some of the restrictions that have been invented over time, which are not in fact constitutional, but have been accepted, then start getting thrown back in our faces. So, for example, in the Heller decision, which was everybody considered a powerful pro-gun decision, there was a comment in there that, hey, that doesn't mean that everything all the time is protected. For example, sawed-off shotguns aren't protected.
Well,
why aren't they protected? Why is a sawed-off shotgun different from anything else or a handgun that shoots shotgun shells? Because a previous decision reached that conclusion in error, and subsequent decisions just parroted it.
So you have error building on top of error then, in essence, what you're discussing.
Precisely.
Okay.
I mean, and that particular decision was reached in the 30s by a court where there was no defense of, you know, the person who was being charged with possession of the shotgun had no defense. He was a bootlegger who had absconded. His lawyers made no defense. The judges reached a decision which was a mistake because they didn't have the facts. And that mistake has then been parroted down by subsequent courts.
And that has never been corrected, if I understand, right?
That is right. It's never been corrected. And we've seen that even during the whole debate of Heller, which most gun owners considered a positive thing. For example, the attorney in that case, Gora, who, you know, obviously did a good job, but he told me personally in a meeting I was at that there was no way he would try to defend certain things, like he would never try to defend machine guns. Well, the same decision that said you can't have a shotgun specifically said you can have a machine gun, because the court said, well, you can't have a shotgun because it's actually not a military weapon. Well, if the only thing that's protected are military weapons, then obviously you could have a machine gun.
Yeah.
So he said he wouldn't take that position or defend machine guns because the trial was in D.C. And politically, it would be a loser. So a lot of decisions have been made by lawyers in these cases that have political considerations, which are understandable because they want to win. But that win becomes very, very...
It causes you trouble in the future, right?
Absolutely. So now in this case, what the judge, there's a couple of things that the judge based her decision on.
And this is, by the way, Judge Adrienne Nelson, the judge who did not ask any questions at the hearing that you all showed up to,
she
right?
She didn't ask a single question. Kate Brown, appointee to the Oregon Supreme Court, who was then elevated by Joe Biden to the federal court. And one of the points that she's been leaning on is that somehow this idea that the only things that are protected are firearms that are, quote, in common use for self-defense. Now, that's not correct. I mean, the firearms are protected for any lawful purpose. But because we've allowed this phrase to creep into the common lexicon, now, if it's not, quote, in common use for self-defense, it's not protected. So think about the potential here.
Oh, my goodness.
Something cannot be in common use until it's been available. So any new innovation is now immediately capable of being banned.
Because it is not in common use, because it's new, right?
Exactly.
Well, okay, let's take an example as, think about the SIG Sauer P365, right? Very common a concealed carry weapon, very, very popular. With that logic, when that first came out, you know, easily concealable 9mm weapon under this kind of legal stuff, well, the P365 is not in common use, so we can ban that. So California could ban it, let's say, for example, right? It's not on our registry. They kind of do that, don't they? Really?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you can go back to the 70s when the Glock pistols were introduced. And that was an innovation because you used a polymer frame. So there were parts of it that were, of course, most of it was steel, but there were parts of it that were polymer. And when it was first introduced in New York City, they made it illegal to own them because in the eyes of the New York City police, it was a terrorist weapon that was undetectable, which, of course, is nonsense. It's perfectly detectable. And they only allow people to purchase them, which in New York City to begin with takes an act of Congress. But if you were willing to jump through those hoops, it was only available to you after it was discovered that the police commissioner at the time was carrying this terrorist weapon.
Okay.
So like an innovative firearm, like one that has polymer components, is not going to be in common use until it's been available for a while and people have had an opportunity to acquire them. So those immediately can be illegal.
So, this whole idea, though, that you can ban something just because it's uncommon, that's the trap that has been fallen into, right? That's the trap.
Precisely. And then your example of the SIGs have a very unusual design mechanism that I won't get into, but it allows people to customize this gun in ways that hadn't been available before. So that's not in common use immediately. So those can be banned. And anything can be banned that's not available. And the other point that they're making, that the defendants, meaning the state, was making, is that these guns are not commonly used for lawful purposes. They're only used for criminal purposes.
That's a lie.
It's a lie on so many levels. But for one thing, they said, look at how many ghost guns we have been confiscating at crime scenes in the last few years.
Yeah, but they haven't been confiscating ghost guns. They've been confiscating the regular guns that someone filed off the serial numbers. It's different. isn't it?
Well, that's precisely true. But that exactly, and that's what I was about to say. They've misrepresented it so that any gun with an obliterated serial number is considered, quote, a ghost gun. The other problem is, and of course, if you take the position that anything that is frequently used by criminals can be regulated or banned, that's all handguns all the time.
Yeah.
But on top of that, how do you demonstrate how many of these guns are being used for lawful purposes since you would never interact with those guns, right? The only time you would interact with those guns if you're in law enforcement is if they're used in a self-defense shooting. So now you've pared it down to self-defense shootings, but you don't know how – that. I mean, if you're carrying a firearm and you haven't actually used it in a self-defense situation, then it's not a self-defense gun. So, for example – any pistol I might carry, unless I've used it to defend myself, is no longer protected because it hasn't been used in self-defense. But we don't have records of how many of these things are in the hands of law-abiding people. We only have records of how many firearms, which don't have serial numbers they can track, which, as you pointed out, are probably mostly conventional guns with obliterated serial numbers. Those things are recovered, but the ones in the hands of law-abiding people are not. So the whole premise completely falls apart. But there's no question when you read this decision that her decision was written before she ever got to court, because if it wasn't, she would have asked some questions like how many of these guns are actually really personally manufactured? And of course, prior to 1968, guns weren't required to have serial numbers.
No.
There's already been a federal decision saying that there's no historical precedent for it. So none of these things add up in terms of a reasonable reason to ban something. And on top of that, in her decision, she says, well, look, we're not banning these things. We're just saying you have to go through this next step of having them serialized. And because you had until September 1st to do it, your rights have not been affected. That's absolutely false because you cannot comply with this law.
And why can you not comply with the HB 2005 law, Kevin? Why is that?
Because the possession of one of these devices, and not even a finished firearm, but the simple possession of an unfinished part that doesn't have an unserialized firearm.
No serial number on it.
Without a serial number, the simple possession of that is illegal, period.
To possess it is illegal. Wow. So you can't serialize something unless you make it. But if you make it first, you've already broken the law, right?
You've already broken the law. If you made it a year ago when it was perfectly legal, the simple possession of it's unlawful. And while they say, look, here's this exception. An authorized person, meaning a certain kind of dealer or manufacturer, is allowed to take these things into his possession to serialize them. But you're not allowed to give it to him. And after September 1st, that won't even be the law. You still won't be able to do that. So if you create one now, or say you move into the state with one, if you create it now, the moment you've created it, it's already unlawful to have. So bringing it to someone to serialize it, you're already in violation of the law. But the other question is, and I spent the last couple of days with one of the few dealers I know who had been serializing these things and has stopped because he said, we don't know what rules we're supposed to follow. For example, it's really the state law doesn't go into it at all. If Bill Meyer built a firearm and took it to XYZ gun FFL dealer who had a manufacturer's license in addition to having a license to sell, wanted to put a serial number on it, that our understanding is that FFL would have to list himself as the manufacturer. Now, imagine you are a businessman and somebody comes to you with a firearm they've made in their home. You have no idea of how well this thing's been constructed, even if you disassemble it.
Yeah, then you would have to actually lie and say that you manufactured it, right, in order to put a serial number on it, right?
You would have to identify yourself as the manufacturer, which, of course, you know, look at Daniel Defense or any of these other companies, Bushmaster, who have been sued as manufacturers simply because somebody used their gun in a crime. So, and I, not that these guns would be used in crimes, but what if one of these guns blows up? Okay, so now you've got liability against the guy who had nothing to do with it. So why would any dealer put themselves in that position?
They couldn't.
So you have
they could not be dangerous.
It would just do it.
Yeah, existential threat to your business surviving. Sure. Okay.
So you've got those problems where you can, and in our decisions, because, oh, look, there's a way to comply. There isn't a way to comply. On top of that, you've got the misrepresentation of how many are out there. You've got the problem of not being able to determine, quote, if they're common use. And you've got the problem that we've accepted the idea that they have to be commonly used for self-defense. Well, why? There's plenty of lawful purposes that are not self-defense. And on top of that, the first issue we brought up, which was any new innovation can now be banned immediately because it's not in common use. I mean, there's a lot of firearms manufacturers who've created firearms specifically to try to deal with the million to comply with the million restrictions that they face. And by doing that, they create firearms that have parts or functions that are slightly different from previous guns. Those things will immediately be subject to bans just because they're new.
Fascinating and chilling when it comes right down to it. And this is because of one judge, one decision, State of Oregon, House Bill 2005. And also, this is another example, and we have to continue to let people know that this was totally unnecessary, because had Republicans done their job at that time and denied quorum in the final days of that 2023 session, we wouldn't have had this bill to have to fight.
I mean, how do we justify a situation where people that we hired and paid to represent our interests will sit in a chamber and say, this bill is unconstitutional. This bill will entrap the people we are hired to protect and defend, mm-hmm. but you go ahead and pass it. I mean, how is that acceptable? It's because we want to keep our offices and our parking spaces and the illusion of importance. And meanwhile, thousands of Oregonians now have no real way to comply with this law, except maybe to destroy these things, which probably won't protect them anyway, because the same FBI who can identify every grandmother at the January 6th open house in Washington, but can't identify a guy who was sitting at a park bench where a pipe bomb was found, will find a way to get the records of anybody who's ever purchased an unfinished part and make the assumption that they actually created something and now are subject to prosecution. Thank you, Vicki Iverson.
Wow. What do you think happens next on this one? Because this is one judge. Is there any thought about appeal with Firearms Policy Coalition and you and other people? What do you think?
So we got this decision late yesterday. I, of course, immediately contacted, our attorneys sent it to me and I said, okay, so what's the next step? And, of course, that's being discussed. And I assume, I don't think anybody's terribly surprised by this decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say here's what's going to happen next, because largely that's going to have to require some strategy, because there's so many other cases going on that it's always very difficult to say here's the next best thing to do, because to a certain extent we're guessing. But I know those discussions are underway. And in the meantime, as far as what do Oregonians do now in the interim and the time it's going to take to resolve this, we don't have an answer. I can't tell people here's a legal way to protect yourself. And I wish I could, because in the past, when laws, at least as bad as they were understandable, we could say here's the steps that our lawyers recommend. But the dealers don't know what to do. The lawyers don't know what to do. And once again, thank you, Republicans, for screwing good Oregonians.
Build a firearm, go to jail is the name of the alert here on Oregon Firearms Federation, OregonFirearms.org. Kevin, keep us in the loop on this one. I wish the news were better out of this one, but I would agree with you. Completely not unexpected, okay? Not unexpected given the makeup of our judiciary in the state of Oregon, okay? Got to keep rolling and fighting this one. Thanks, Kevin. We'll be back, all right? Take care. It's 7:38 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Wish the news was better on that one, but like I said, not unexpected.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Co., Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
It's okay to ask for a little advice at Freddy's Diner. Are you ready to order?
Ooh, always a tough call. Burgers, sandwiches, melts, fried chicken, smoked brisket. The daily special looks good, too. Any suggestions?
Well, we have seafood, too. Our hand-dipped fish and chips is pretty hard to beat.
Sounds good.
There's something for everyone at Freddy's Diner in Old Town, Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Should you trust your drinking water on a do-it-yourself water test? I don't think so. At the Grants Pass Water Lab, we get a lot of calls about this. The kits are cheap, and yeah, they look easy, but the results can be confusing and still require a lab follow-up. Save your money and go straight to the water lab. Our equipment is much better at detection, and our staff sure beats a hard-to-read instruction packet. Find us online at thewaterlab.com or gpwaterlab.com.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and hey, I know I get excited in these ads and I start talking loud and fast, but hey, that's because I genuinely love Ford trucks and SUV. I own Fords. My family and friends drive Fords. I've been selling Fords at Butler for over 21 years to happy customers like you who've made Butler Ford the highest Google-rated Ford store in Oregon. So when I see a good deal on a Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV, I get excited to tell you about it. And right now, I'm excited that you can pay only $399 a month to lease a Ford F-150 4x4. Pay $399 a month, drive it for 3 years, then come back and get a new one. I also want you to know that interest rates on the new Ford Escape are down to 2.9% for 75 months. 2.9 for 75 months? So yes, I get excited about saving our customers money on a new Ford. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, off of exit 19, where we got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, and your savings.
36-month lease to qualifying trading customers with $63.58 to assigning, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number 59693 and selling price of $52,905 after all rebates and discounts. 75 monthly payments of $14.59 per thousand financed. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for more details.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The ACLU has filed suit against the Medford Police Department, claiming it's illegally been compiling secret files on people who protested against the Minneapolis murder of George Floyd and advocated for homeless people and drug users, among other complaints. They claim the police department monitored social media news stories to build files against people who weren't suspected of any criminal activity. Neither the city attorney nor the police chief have commented. The Grants Pass City Council backed away from designating four sites for homeless camping and now favors two sites, one at a future water treatment plant site and one on a vacant lot across from City Hall. Oregon's U.S. senators sent a letter this week to the Interior Secretary asking for more help for farmers impacted by the state's devastating wildfire season. Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley want the secretary to approve that request to ensure rural communities receive the support they need to recover. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands, so if you need a set for your truck.
Raring to go.
1977. If this song title describes your home's foundation, get Millett Construction a call. Cracks in walls and ceilings, sloping floors and windows, and doors that stick are all signs your home's foundation may be going its own way. Millett Construction fixes foundations, levels houses, and solves water problems that cause the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Do you know that it is possible in a single day to replace a mouthful of bad teeth or ill-fitting dentures with a beautiful implant-supported smile? For so many of my patients, this has been a life-changing experience. Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson of Dental Excellence. I met a man in my office who came for a free consultation. He said to me, "Dr. Johnson, I quit going out to eat with my friends. I cover my mouth when I smile. I don't laugh out loud like I used to. I'm tired of all the denture adhesive and not tasting my food." Can you or someone you know relate to this man's story? I'm here to tell you that dental implants can solve your problems and give you a great reason to smile. Start now to regain your health and confidence. Come meet me and my amazing team. The consultation is free.
Call 541-779-6170 or visit MedfordDentalExcellence.com.
Dental Excellence, changing lives, one smile at a time.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
745, State Senator, outgoing State Senator, because Diane Linthicum is the incoming State Senator, but still, you're there with the title there, Dennis, and running for Secretary of State, Dennis Linthicum. Welcome back to the show. As always, good to have you on.
Good morning, Bill. You've had a series of good conversations this morning. It's always nice to listen to the guests that you have coming on and talking over to the audience that you serve. It's fun to hear, and there's some interesting things because we. I don't know if you want to go anywhere, but we live in a world that I'll just mention a few things this morning. We live in a world where regulatory overreach is out of control. It's
absolutely.
Just step by step.
Absolutely.
And it's like we're living in the days of the Tower of Babel, because you and I are talking about social media in one sense, and the state and the Secretary of State's MDM, or misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, is talking at a different level.
And by the way, I just want to be clear that this is one of the things that you as Secretary of State wish to dismantle immediately, if not sooner, after being elected. And this is why it's so important. This is why the Secretary of State race matters in Oregon. Right.
Right. And we know throughout history, we know that freedom of speech is one of the most important features of, the Democratic Republic, the idea of sharing perspectives, sharing ideas, sharing conversations. And sometimes it gets filled with too much passion. And the passion just gets ridiculous and drives people far left and far right. But the conversation is really in the middle ground. The conversation is where we can talk about things like I mentioned in my newsletter, 2,900 $1 million homes misplaced in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, essentially because of all the money that they have wasted, which has been discovered in the audits, in recent audits that have been released, right? Recent reports there.
Right. And so you need a keen eye. You need to realize math is real. You know, your spreadsheet's telling the honest truth. Those records got misplaced, misallocated, misadjudicated, whatever the story may be. And somebody needs to be held accountable. Somebody needs to be held responsible. Have we read any of that now that the audit's over? Did we read about the guy who tucked, $2 billion into his never before seen account and was hoping to drain it out over the next 5 years? Like,
is that what happened there, Dennis? I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. Did something like that happen?
No. See, this is the point. Without transparency, without information, anybody can make a conspiracy theory about anything. And that's why legitimate transparency and public awareness has to be the number one goal of state government. They cannot hide things under the covers or behind the sheets, because as soon as they do that, now nobody trusts them anymore, and nobody knows what to believe, and nobody knows what's true or what's false.
And realistically, very few people are, except I guess the leftists in charge, are trusting of Oregon state government. And I would even go back to, did anyone ever do an audit on what happened to the hundreds of millions of dollars that were spent to supposedly plan a new Interstate 5 bridge over in Portland. You know, and I just know there was hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions. And they're always, and we're always told that the reason Oregon sucks is that there's just never enough money, Dennis. But whatever happened to all that money? Did anybody ever audit that? I'm just curious. I know I'm asking for legislating history or relitigating it, but still.
And it's a good point. That was $1.5 billion.
Oh, so even more. All right.
Yeah, so even more. And has anybody ever seen the technical designs, the specs? You know, sure, there's an artist rendition that, you know, was published in the Oregonian or something. But
a lot of people got paid for nothing, though. Right?
That's right.
We were forced
that's
to right. pay for this, you know.
Well, the artist rendition didn't cost $1.5 billion. And so I want to see the stack of design details. I want to see the engineers who worked out the math. I want to see their spreadsheets. I want to see the facts behind it. I want to audit who got paid what for doing what. Is this really just somebody bringing sandwiches to the crew on because we worked them overtime on some Saturday and they got double overtime because they're in a hazard pay situation?
Yeah, ultimately, though, isn't the idea of being Secretary of State to have that audit power about clawing back money that is owed taxpayers? And I never hear about that happening, or am I wrong?
Well, the clawing back part is the hard part. Remember, you know, we had a situation when Portland was burning. They allocated, and this is, you know, fact, not fiction, they allocated $65 million for Black-owned businesses in downtown Portland to restore those businesses back to their to make them, quote, whole.
Uh-huh.
And yet anything that has race as a identifier, it should be illegal. It's unconstitutional because you cannot use race as a category for how you interpret someone.
How you're going to dole out money too. I mean, you just can't do that, right?
That's right. So a Hispanic woman actually filed a lawsuit and won the lawsuit. Now, the problem is this is after they handed out
the money.
$58 million dollars in grants. And they said, we'll probably need the remaining $6 million to clean up shop, close down the office, and, you know, whatever their cleanup operation looked like, it destroy the paperwork or something. But this was – everybody knew it on the day it got passed. Everybody knew it was probably unconstitutional, but they passed it anyway. And this is just like Kevin Sterrett was describing with firearms. They know that this won't hold water.
They knew the law was unconstitutional. Republicans knew it was unconstitutional. They even said so. But they were there.
That's right.
Unfortunately.
That's right.
They were there. And so it passed.
And those handful of Republicans that were there, you know, how do you claw that back now that that's gone? How do you make ends meet? And so – so, you know, the we're in a tough time because everybody's talking. You're talking below me. I'm talking above you. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking above me, and I can't understand what you're saying because you're using mail to mean one thing, and I'm using mail to mean something else.
Yeah. Don't even get us started in the Island of Misfit Humans agenda, okay? All right.
I was referring to the U.S. Postal Service.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking like mail, M-A-L-E. Okay, never mind. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, see how we talked around each other there. There's a perfect example. But anyway, Secretary of State candidate Dennis Linthicum running here. ElectDennis.com. Please, we got to get in gear, rears in gear on running this campaign, Dennis. All right. It's so important for this and also the state attorney general's race and various other things because there needs to be something other than another Democratic hack in these offices, because otherwise you really have no accountability. There's no one taking a critical eye of and looking at this. Now, I wanted to focus on not just the audit power, but the Secretary of State's office is where the surveillance power was put in place with this misinformation. What is that program called again? that is
MDM.
MDM. And is that is it the same sort of thing as what the ACLU is suing City of Medford cops for? The fact that they were just looking at social media posts and looking at news stories and just thinking that we should at least be aware of what's going on. I didn't think the Medford cops did anything wrong, but what are you thinking?
Well, it's all based on how you weigh opinion. For example, at the DNC, they were obviously watching social media. They realized there was violence in the mix. They mm-hmm. realized thousands and thousands of protesters were going to be attacking the Democrat National Convention. And they put up a fence in response to that. Now, if we had said that that's illegal per the ACLU, and you cannot watch that information, and you cannot respond to it, and what we either have is we build a police state where fences are everywhere.
This is different then. This program that the current Secretary of State's office is involved is about pre-filtering what you're able to see. Right?
That's correct.
Okay.
It's actually about turning your name in as a domestic terrorist to the Oregon State Police and the FBI and Oregon's internal terrorism, counterterrorism organization. So now when you make a claim, and this is, you know, the difference, this is the trouble we face here in Babel, is when you make a claim that says, I'm so mad at my school board that I'm going to go down there tonight and give them my opinion.
Give them a piece of my mind, right? Yeah, that's how someone would do it.
A piece of my mind. And now anybody can interpret that. Is this your silence is violence? Is this your words are violence? Is this what you mean by a piece of your mind? Is that some, you know, and anybody can interpret it any way they want and exercise this controlling authority. So this is why tyrannies, this is why big government is such a failure. Big government fails because it is too big, too large, grows enormously while on our watch, and we need to audit this to see what it actually looks like. Without an audit, without proper understanding, without some reasonable review, nobody will ever recognize when their rights are getting infringed.
And I would also add that, let's be honest, as long as you have Democrats running the Secretary of State's office, there's never really going to be a jaundiced eye and a real look at reining these programs in, because it's always going to be filtered through the politics of conformity, you know, really, when it comes right down to it. Dennis, I think it's very important, and this is why you as Secretary of State, with the audit power, with being able to reinterpret the rules to a more common sense election world, this is so important, and I know it's not the sexiest race, right? You know, it's not not like you're running for governor or you're running for president or something like that, but it really matters, doesn't it?
It does. It's an important executive function. The Attorney General, the Secretary of State, and the Treasurer are three important partisan executive offices that are up for election this year. It's a good time for Oregonians, for conservatives to come out and mark their ballots for Boquist, Lathrop, and Linthicum mm-hmm. for the Treasurer, Attorney General, and Secretary of State, because I think it's fair to say we need people who have a fair bit of skepticism when looking at the numbers, because if somebody says everything's fine here, boss,
nothing to see, move along, which is way a lot of it runs right now, right? Nothing to see.
Mm-hmm. Right. At Enron, they said, hey, everything's fine. We're going great guns.
It was fine until it collapsed and burned, right? You know, everything was fine.
Well, right. And then the auditors step in and say, whoa, look at this. Whoa, look at that. Whoa, look at this. Our duty, our responsibility to the taxpaying public is to review it ahead of time, to know what's on the books, to know where things have been funneled wrongly or incorrectly. and to straighten those things out.
All right. electdentist.com. Dennis, I always appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon sometime next week before I head out on Labor Day. And I don't know if you're going to be heading out on Labor Day doing anything too, but keep us in the loop, all right? You take care.
You bet. It's great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Secretary of State candidate Dennis Linthicum. This is the Bill Myers Show.